Some of you have been Christians for a long, long time, as I have. I've been a Christian for about 37 years. And after 37 years, you should know your goal, the direction that God has pointed you to. The Apostle Paul, as we go through this letter to the Philippian Christians, the Apostle Paul has been in ministry as a Christian for over 30 years. And he is in prison now, toward the end of his life. And we have read about it. We've studied it. He knows his goal. His goal is not the accomplishments of the many things he had, the places he's gone to, the impact that he has on people. All those things are part of his life or the process of his ministry. But his goal, as he told us, was to be like Christ. I hope that is your goal. If you're a Christian and you know Jesus Christ, whether you became a Christian yesterday or 20 years ago, I hope you know that the goal of our lives is to be like Christ. And in the process of being like Christ, we will become a lot of things and accomplish a lot of things. But the goal is to be like Christ. And so, in order for us to be successful in this goal, there are a bunch of things that Paul has already told us, but he summarizes it in these particular verses that makes it easy, at least to keep in mind. Not easy to do, but to keep in mind. And so today, I want to just give you a brief guide to success, according to the Apostle Paul, in the end of this chapter particularly. And then we'll take a break next week for Easter, and then we'll get back to Philippians, finishing the last chapter. He tells us three things, simple. The first thing is, look for godly role models. He says, look for people like me, he said. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Sometimes we like to look for people that are, wow, they're amazing, you know. But I'm not sure if they're role models for you. They might be examples, and they're good. There's some that we can go into history and find lots of them. You know, one of the things I used to do a lot was I used to play a lot of basketball, a lot of sports. And as a young teenager, as I was getting to learn basketball, I followed a lot of, obviously, the professionals. And today, you know, we have James Harden here in Houston and Rockets and maybe he'll become the MVP, who knows? Great player. Well, back in those days, we had other people. People maybe not familiar with some of you here, but my role model was Dave Collins. You don't know who he is, do you? He was the great Celtic center. I didn't even like the Celtic teams. We hated the Celtics, New York Knicks, you know? But he was my role model. You know why? He was only 6'8". He would take and tackle the centers of all these other teams that are seven-footers, but he hustled, he rebounded. He was a great, great player. So I wanted to be like Dave Collins. And I took his number, number 18. Always wore it on my jersey. But it's not only just that, him. When I was learning basketball, there were players, you know, people that were older than me. They were great shooters. I wanted to be a great shooter. So I would learn what they did, you know. I studied them. They said, this is what you do. This is how you take the jump shot. This is what you do in your layup. This is what you do. You learn. These are role models. You learn from them. In the Christian life, it's like that too. You know, you get to say, you know, you got to be a righteous man. You got to be a holy man, this and that. You got to follow some people. And I think it's God's people. That is one of the disappointment that a lot of churches have today. We are just coming to church and we just go home and we have no role models or people that we can possibly follow because we're not involved. Sometimes church is just participation on a Sunday. It's something that we go to and we want to see how the pastor performs. We want to see how the worship team people perform. And we go to Sunday school, we might stay there and say, did he teach a good class or not? But we're not treating those people like role models. And in some ways, you know, maybe it's hard to find role models because today we have a lot of celebrity pastors. We all want to follow certain ones. You know, we have our Chinese heritage, those of you that are Chinese. We got our Francis Chan. Look at that. We all want to follow Francis Chan. Or there may be other great preachers or great teachers. We all want to be like that. These are celebrity pastors. But how do we really have role models? One of the things that we'd like to do as we move on in our history here as a church, develop a better discipleship program, have some small groups, people that you can gather together with and say, you know what, this person is a role model for me. Not so much in accomplishments, don't think that, in what they can do. No, no, in who they are, in the character of holiness and godliness. You know, I had a good pastor back in my days, Pastor Lee. And he's retired now, but he was a role model for so many of us. I just modeled him. What a wonderful, humble man. Every time I think about some things, you know, what would Pastor Lee do in this situation? A role model for me. And it says a lot about us, though, those of us who are leaders in the church, myself as the pastor, other pastors here, Sunday school teachers, deacons, just know that it is important that you act as role models for others. And the Apostle Paul talks about that. He said, join together, follow my examples. To say that, you better be ready to kind of walk the walk, you know, not just talk the talk. Follow my examples. The things I would do, I want you to follow. Are we able to say that, those of us that are older in our Christian faith? But the Apostle Paul said, you want success, you want to look for godly role models. When you find them, you follow them. You follow how they do it, you know, what they're doing, how they're feeling, how they behave. Discover those things. You want to get into their lives. Find someone that you can follow after. Now, in addition to this, though, the Apostle Paul right away goes into the second part that we want to talk about. He says, yes, find godly role models, but he says, beware of fraudulent deceivers. Beware, because there are these role models, these people out there that are trying to say, hey, follow after me. But you better be careful who they are. And he describes them. I want to talk about it a little bit. There are lots of them there. Now, the deceivers aren't going to be the non-Christians out there. They're not going to be the people you know are bad people. They're the ones that can deceive us, especially our young people. Or those that are weak in the faith or young in the faith, they can deceive us. So we got to be careful. For he says, you know, for I've often told you before, now tell you again, even with tears, so you know that the Apostle Paul is talking about people in the church. He's not talking about people outside. He says, I tell you this in tears because he knows these people. He know of them. Maybe thinking that once upon a time they were great Christians, you know, wonderful followers of Christ, and discovers instead that they are deceivers. He says, many live as enemies of the cross. Can you imagine that? Being in a church to live as enemies of the cross. Who would do that? Why bother? Why bother being in there? But that's what the enemy does. He puts people in the church setting, in the Christian community, who are really enemies of the cross, but you think they're not, and they deceive you. Goes on, he says, their destiny, they live as enemies of the cross, and their destiny is destruction. What they want to do is destroy. You say, really? I don't even think some of them really know that. They don't even know that they're destroying anything. They think they're actually helping, but their destiny is destruction. And their God is the stomach, or in other words, the appetite, an appetite for sin. And then their glory is in their shame. Something that should be so awful, they're glorifying in it. You know, today in our world, it's easy to see that. Especially if you've been a Christian for a while, you can't imagine. You just can't even imagine some of the things that are being talked about today that are seen as good things. You know, when I was a Christian in the 70s, we can't think of these things. These are unthinkable. Just like 50 years ago, 100 years ago, there's a lot of things that we do today, we allow, is legal and so forth, that is unthinkable to our community, our Christian society. But yet, it is that. We bring things that are shameful, and we say they're good. I was talking to somebody yesterday. He mentioned something about, you know, in the 80s, we couldn't talk about these things at all. But now we're freely able to talk about it. Really? Yeah. That's right. We're freely able to talk about these things. We talk about them as if they're okay. We talk about them as if they're not sinful. We talk about as if God you know, condones those kind of things. And yet we do that because these are the enemies of the cross. They live that way. They're fraudulent deceivers. They're there. And they're constantly coming out. And some of you have gotten received an email, Sunday school classes, and on April 23rd, we're going to do a special Sunday school class. Together, we are going to talk about one of the films that's come out, and the reason is because it is impacting churches. So we discuss it. We'll talk about it. Because in that film, which is called A Shack, based on a book, it talks about a lot of things that a lot of Christians are embracing. Things that are fraudulent, things that are heretical, things that are not of the biblical basis at all, but nevertheless, we have embraced those kind of things. And Christians are being deceived to think that. Amongst that is universalism, the whole concept that there is no judgment on sin, that every single person in this world will eventually end up in heaven because God is not a judgmental God. You see, you can teach that all you want, you can preach it all you want, but it's not right, it's not real, it's not biblical, it's not truthful. We can say, no problem, you live the way you want to live, and that's fine. But it's not true. See, back in those days when Paul was teaching this, when Paul was writing this letter to the Philippians, there was two major things that was going on at the time. And every generation, every decade, perhaps every century, there are major heresy that goes on. But during those days, when Paul was writing this to the Philippians, one, he had to tackle the issue that was brought forth to him constantly, and that is from the Jewish folks. The Jewish folks that became Christians, they couldn't leave it. They couldn't leave the Jewish heritage. The Jewish heritage was so important to them that they had to bring Judaism into Christianity. So tough, you know. If you become a Christian, okay, that's fine, but you have to become a Jewish Christian. So you have to get circumcised. You have to do these things. You can't eat this. You can't do that. That was constantly there. So Paul was attacking that. And then on the other end, the Greek folks, you know, those who are not Jewish, they came with another thing. They had the Greek philosophies, the worldism, and all these kind of things that was going on. So he had it both ends. He had to attack it. Today, what do we have? I know in the 80s, we struggled with liberalism. We struggled with inerrancy. Those are the things we struggle with. And now, 2017, we are struggling with universalism. That's a big deal. We're struggling with the moral standards of the Bible. Romans 1, 2, not being relevant today. Oh, no, no, those are the things we struggle with. But we have to be aware of these fraudulent deceivers. They are in the church. I'm sure they are in our church because every single church has got them because the enemy will bring them in. So first we have to follow and model after godly people. Find someone in our church, in your small group, in your fellowship group. Somebody say, you know what? This is such a godly man. This is such a godly woman. I want to model after her. I want to model after him. And then beware. Beware of those who would deceive you, who will come and whisper something in your ears that would tickle your ears and say, that sounds good. Wow, that sounds really good. But it's not truthful. And then the third thing the Apostle Paul writes here. So these are just three simple things he gives us, the secret to success. It's remember who you are. Verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. You know, we went to Ukraine and came back. Thank you for your prayers. Wonderful things happened there. Lots of good testimonies of women who were impacted by the conference that Barbara led. A lot of good things we saw. But you know, we knew always that we were American citizens, you know, when we were there. We had our passports available. We knew that that wasn't our home. In fact, at the end, when we were going to fly home, you know, one of the struggles we had was Delta just botched up everything, and one of our team member got to the airport and he said, you don't have a ticket. They canceled your ticket, you know. It was tough. It was tough. But knowing that we were Americans, and somewhere along the line, you know, somewhere, someplace, somebody would help us, and indeed, finally they did. We were able to come home, all of us. We need to understand who we are as God's people. That our citizenship is in heaven. Don't ever forget that. I think sometimes, you know, we don't care. We don't really want to be heaven. We have to say, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but not today. You know? Sometimes we think that this life here is pretty good. And if you think that today, you'll be wrong. You'll be wrong. You know nothing about heaven. You think this life is what you want to have. Heaven is so much better than you could imagine. And you, if you know Jesus Christ, you've given your life to the Lord. You say, Lord Jesus, I want you as my Lord and Savior. Sometime in the past. And you gave your life to Jesus Christ. You are born again, believer. You are a transformed being. You are a citizen of heaven. Your name is in the book of life, which makes you a citizen in heaven. And you and I have to remember who we are. We are a citizen of heaven, not a citizen of earth. And it says here, the Apostle Paul, we eagerly await the Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking forward to the moment in which Jesus will come in the air, as he promised, as the angels told the disciples in the book of Acts. He's going to come back exactly as you have seen him. We are waiting for that moment. And at that moment, all those who have died, who are already with the Lord in spirit, their bodies will come together. And suddenly they'll be caught, they'll be right there, the body will form, and they'll have this beautiful body. And then the rest of us, if we haven't died yet, we're going to be caught up in heaven split second later, and all our bodies will be transformed. That is who we are. We will become people with a brand new body because we are citizens of heaven, even though we live on earth today. Don't you ever forget that. When you forget that, you are not going to pursue the goal of being Christ-like. We are citizens of heaven. And in verse 21, he says, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies that they will be like his glorious body. We're going to be just like Jesus' body. In case you don't know what that is, if you go into the gospel, you will find that Jesus, when he resurrected, you know, he was able to go through wars, he ate, you can feel him, there's a real body, but it was a glorious body, a body that was not impacted by this world, a body that was awesome, amazing. That's the body we're going to have. We're going to be in heaven because that's our home. And in case you want to know more about heaven, you want to study some of the other passages in Ezekiel, perhaps, in Daniel, in the book of Revelation, you will find this heaven as described amazingly, as much as we in our human minds can understand what heaven is about. It's nothing like your home. I don't care if you have a mansion somewhere. You got nothing. We are citizens of heaven. You kidding me? Do not look at yourself as anything else. You are not citizens of earth. You are not the king of kings on earth. That is lower than anybody that's a citizen of heaven. This is who we are. Remember who you are. And so Paul writes, even though he's in prison right now, even though he's chained to a soldier 24/7, even though he has no wealthy possessions, he has no freedom to even walk, under any circumstance, he could be killed, and in fact, later he was. He says, I'm a citizen of heaven. You see, he understood it. So you want to be successful in your pursuit of the goal of being like Christ? That's what you do. You remember who you are. Never forget it. The Apostle Paul. Wow, when you think about his accomplishments, you would think he would have put it out there, laid it out there. When you think about his life, he would have laid it out there. No, he didn't care about those things. This is just the process of his life. All he cared about was one thing. I want to be like Christ. I want to be like him. I want to think like him. I want to live like him. I want to act like him. I want to speak like him. I want to be like Christ. And in doing that, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to model somebody. I'm going to beware of those who are going to take me away, who gives me something, you know, oh, if you take this and become like this. No, I'm not going to listen to those fraudulent deceivers. And I'm going to remember every single moment that I am a citizen. I belong in the kingdom of God. My name is listed in the book of life, I am going to spend the rest of eternity with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind if you want to be successful in the Christian life and the path that we go. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I just get so excited when I think about the fact that we will have eternity with you. Oh, Lord God, we didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything for it. We didn't earn it. We didn't earn it. But because of your grace and your love for us, Lord, you have given us the opportunity and the privilege to be your children. Oh, Lord God, thank you that we are citizens of heaven indeed. Oh, Lord, would you help each one of us here to every day remember who we are and then to pursue that goal. That we'll be more and more like you every single day so that the world will see